Yes, Lord, we do have filled our hearts with joy and with happiness. We thank you, we glorify your name for this wonderful day that we experienced your presence, your love, your word to us. Glorify your name. And here we are now, we are seeking your face again. Talk to us, to talk to our hearts, and give us the hearts of the disciples so we can learn and obey, and we will be transformed to your image. Give our God and Father the glory by reflecting your image in us. Help us all to be focusing and listening and concentrating on the word that you want to talk to us. We thank you for the baptism this afternoon. We thank you for our sisters, our daughters, that you bless them, bless their lives, bless all what they are doing to be a testimony, protect them, keep them in your under your mighty hand. Bless Brother John, the word that he's going to give to your name, glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your precious love, the work that you have done on the cross to save sinners and purchase righteous people for yourself. We thank you for the complete work that you have done, because no one can boast of salvation. There is a gift from God that we thank you, Lord, because we rest in you, we rest in your faithfulness, we rest in your word, we rest in your promises. It is our hope. Lord, we ask you that you may help us have a vision, a heavenly vision of our life. Keep our eyes, Lord, focused on heavenly things and not upon earthly things, so that we may redeem the time, Lord, that we may live for yourself, live for your glory, so that we may gather treasures in heaven. Help us, Lord, fight the good fight, the fight that pleases you. That your kingdom may come, that we may be vessels of sanctification, that we may use our members for sanctified purposes and for your glory. We thank you, Lord, because you have given us purpose, hope, and motivation, Lord, to fulfill the great commission. Thank you for the word, the precious word that you have given us, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, Lord, because you want to use us as arrows in the hand of a strong man. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word that you will give us time to share, and help us to meditate on it and grow in it for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good evening. I see some new faces and that I haven't seen before. Maybe I'm dreaming things, but I'm not sure. But nice to see you. Tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want you to be able to relax. You won't hear me. That's it. That's the last one. So rejoice and be happy. We have been taking features of Timothy. We understood that Timothy is a young man, And the exhortation that was given to Timothy, and that exhortation really also belongs to each and every one of those: let no man despise thy youth. Youth is very important, and I was so impressed that the brother in his prayer was quoting Psalm 127, like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. God is in the business of recruiting youth into His own army. It's wonderful to have older brethren, because the older brethren went before and they have gained certain experience, so that you and I, we could learn by example how to conduct ourselves, how to behave, how to fight the good fight, how to live godly, how to pray, how to behave in the house of God. All these things that sometimes, other than that we learn it in the scripture, we learn it by example, as the Apostle Paul said, "Be ye imitators of me as I'm an imitator of you." So tonight, my last lecture, if you will, it's going to be about the scriptures, the Bible. If I ask you, give me the chapter of love, what do you tell me?
13.
Very good. If I ask you, give me the chapter of faith, what would you say?
Hebrews 11.
Oh, here's come one. I'm going to give you a harder one. If I told you, what is, give me the psalm about the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, which one?
119.
Oh, no,
69?
No. Nope, no.
76?
Well, we can go through all the Psalms. Let's start with Psalm 1. 1? No. 2? No? Yeah. Well, we're going to come to Psalm 119, so I'll give you that answer for you. But it is Psalm 136. That in everything he did, the Bible says, for his mercy endureth forever. Or, his loving kindness endureth forever. So if I told you, now it's coming to you, okay, wait. What is the psalm that speaks about the word of God? Which one you will tell me? Whoa, that's it. That's very good. That's very good, very good. Do you know, I'm going to set some real basic stuff, and then we'll go through the scriptures as far as Timothy is concerned. Do you know that almost, it's not almost, every book, with the exception of Psalm, God used men to write it, but it was in our days when translations were being made, to make it simple for us to take the message or the Bible in certain messages separate from us, people put chapters and verses, right? You know that? It was in the original, with the exception of one book, the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, the way we received it from the original language, it was something that was set by God in this way. You can read that in the New Testament, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because Paul said, as it is written in the second Psalm. And what was the second psalm?
Peter.
And Paul. It's recorded three times in the New Testament. So, what did he say? He said, "Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee." But when you come to the psalm of the Word of God, it is the most unique psalm that has been recorded in the Word of God. Well, would you say why? Now, you like numbers? You like numbers in the Bible?
Yeah.
What's number one speaks of?
Unity.
That's good. God? Two?
The man of God.
We can put it in. We'll put it in the list. Two? By the mouth of
two?
Two?
Testimony.
Three?
Trinity.
Resurrection.
death and resurrection.
That resurrection, three is what we said, triune God is better than Trinity. Triune brings them in oneness. Resurrection, on the third day the Lord Jesus was raised, but also speaks about complete testimony. Because the Bible said, by the mouth of two, that's testimony. Three is confirmation of the testimony. Okay? Number four. Four Gospels. Very good. Why? The four corners. So it is the number of universe. It's a universe number. It covers the whole, every corner of the universe. Number five. Number of responsibility. In two cases, it was a number of grace. In two cases, Joseph gave Benjamin five cups. How about six?
Number of nine.
Very good. I'm impressed. How about seven?
Perfection of God.
And completeness. Good. I love that. So we're going to stop at seven. Number eight?
Resurrection.
God. It's the number of God.
Resurrection.
Number eight.
It's a new order.
New order. New beginning. New beginning. Okay. So having said that, I wanted to come to the number seven, the number of perfection. So that when you take Psalm 119, which speaks about the Word of God, God uses seven different words to express His thoughts regarding His words, or His precious Word. He would use, for example, the name statutes. He will use the term testimonies. He will use the term precepts. He will use the term thy words. So if I ask the young man, what is a verse that is commonly known to you from Psalm 119? What would it be?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Okay, somebody else, another verse.
Thy word that I hid in my heart that I should not sin against thee.
Okay, another verse. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. I'm going to tell you what impresses me the most when I speak to young people. All these verses are extremely important. But like I said to you, I'm not going to give you a number of a verse. But one of the most unique verse that I like to keep in my own mind, living in 2016 and knowing what Satan is doing through technology and through things that are ungodly, I have this verse that is very precious to me. And you know what it says? Keep my eyes from beholding vanity. That's the verse I take from Psalm 119. Keep my eyes from beholding vanity. So why am I bringing that verse in relationship to the Word of God? The reason is that the young people are forgetting the principle that whatever you take hold of, whatever you look upon, whatever you see, whatever you watch, is going to impress you and it's going to affect you. Don't fool yourself. You want me to repeat that?
Yes.
Keep my eyes from beholding vanity, because David understood the principle is whatever I'm going to take hold of, whatever I'm going to look upon, is going to affect me, whether in a positive way or in a negative way. This is why, you know who was the first scientist in the Bible? Scientist. Solomon was the wisest. Probably he was a great scientist. But the first scientist in the Bible was Jacob. You know what Jacob, how Jacob tricked his father-in-law? He brought a certain branches because he knew that if the cattle will look at these branches, they will bring certain features of their cattle. So if they came with speckle, they will be Jacob's, right? But he knew the principle that if I can't give the flock something to look upon, they're going to change. It's going to affect them. And young ones, I'm telling you from now, if you're going to behold vanity, that vanity is going to affect you. But if you desire to behold the Lord Jesus from the Scriptures, because I want to start from Luke 24, I'm not going to turn to it, but I want you to look for them. They are recorded there. That when we open the Scriptures, we have to see the Lord Jesus. That is the purpose. You know, I want to start. What is the purpose of the Scriptures? Why did God give us the Word of God? Just for us to learn how to read? I'm still trying.
But why did God give us the Word of God? He wants us to understand His mind, that all His thoughts, now listen to this, all His counsel is not circled around you. It is not. I'm sorry to disappoint you. All God's thoughts are centered on the person of the Lord Jesus. That is why if I need to look at something, I have to look into the Scripture, because the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is willing to open the Scriptures. That's how it says. There are three things that were opened in the Scripture. That's why I spoke about keep my eyes from beholding vanity. Do you remember what are the three things that the Lord did in Luke 24? What did He open? When is the last time we read the Gospel of Luke?
Your eyes.
He opened their eyes. He opened the Scriptures. He opened their understanding. So you see how He connected opening the eyes in relationship to opening the Scriptures. Why is it that the Lord is connecting the eyes with the Scriptures? Because if there is any way, sometimes we say, we desire to see the Lord. How are you going to see the Lord? Let's not go crazy here. We think like, I'm going to start seeing vision of heaven. Did you ever see a vision of heaven? If you did, share it with me, brother. I'd like to. One time a brother says, oh, I have saw a vision of heaven. Another brother responded, what did you eat last night? But the reality of it is that if I want to see more of Christ, it's not going to come through a heavenly vision. There's a light from heaven and I'm going to see the Lord Jesus the way Stephen saw Him when he was ushered to glory. It's not going to happen. That's why it is of necessity that your eyes might be open toward the Scriptures, because if your eyes are not open, you will never read the Scriptures. Keep my eyes from beholding vanity. There is one thing I want you to understand about the book. Either sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. You have to make a decision tonight. You have to make a decision. Either, keep it in your mind, either sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. So the opening of the eyes, it's very important. Because it gives me clarity and discernment to read the Word of God. And as we behold the Lord, what happens as you behold the Lord? Just to tell you that your eyes are very essential in relationship to the Scripture, because what you see is going to affect you. And this is, if you are looking at the vanity of this world, you're going to be influenced by it. You're going to be affected by it. Don't fool yourself. But if you are looking at the Lord with an open face, what's going to happen? Ye shall be changed from glory to glory. But it requires, if we are looking. You know that everything that the eyes are connected is always connected in the person of the Lord Jesus in New Testament? The eyes. They are very essential. They are one of the two gates into the body. Right? The two gates of the body is the eyes and the ears. But the eyes are very deceiving. Sin came because she looked at it and it was what? Pleasant to the eye. Pleasant to the sight. So the eyes are very essential in our spiritual growth. And I'm connecting it first and foremost with the Scriptures. If the exhortation of Hebrews chapter 12 comes in, it says, looking unto Jesus. The eyes. The eyes. So where are you going to look unto Jesus that is crowned with glory and honor? Where are you going to see that right now? Where are you going to see it right now in the days over here? How about another one? But we see Jesus crowned with glory. How are you going to see Him? What, you want somebody to take a picture with iPod? It's not going to happen. How are you going to see the Lord Jesus? Your eyes open toward the Scripture. The disciples were glad in the Gospel of John, for they have seen the Lord. Where are you going to see the Lord? How are you going to see the marks of His hands, His side and His feet? It is through the eyes upon the Scripture. So I want to start with the eyes. Tomorrow is Lord's Day. And some of you are in practical fellowship. I trust that all of you, some were baptized, we thank the Lord for it. Can I tell it to you from now? What you will behold tonight will affect your response to Him tomorrow. Think about it. What you will watch and behold tonight will affect your response to Him tomorrow. So if you decided when we go to our room at 11 o'clock and turn that TV on and see a movie of Da Vinci or Manichi or every other itchy, it's up to you. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. But if I went to bed with the intention of looking unto Jesus tomorrow, the Spirit of God is going to prepare me when I come to remember Him to be able to make much of Him. It's your decision to make, even tonight. So when Timothy spoke about the scriptures, I want you to turn to it. And it is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we still have some time, but I want to impress the Word of God upon you. And I started with Psalm 119. Do you know Hebrew alphabet?
Yes.
You don't know Hebrew. You know?
Yes.
You know Hebrew alphabet?
Yeah.
So good. He's going to help us with it. Go ahead.
I recite it like this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Aleph, Beth, Jimel.
Very good.
And
whatever it's recorded there. So what God did with the Psalm of the Word of God, now listen to this, you ready for this one? What God did with the Psalm of 119, He wrote every section with the Hebrew alphabet and every verse, now listen to this, every verse of every section with the Hebrew alphabet, He started the verse with the same alphabet.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes. Absolutely.
So if I said, let's take it in English, for example. If we're going to start with A, every verse in that section started with the letter A. That's a divine word of God. He is the only one who can engineer it. Why? Why is it? It is divine. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, let me tell you what you should take hold of the Word of God. These papers, well, you know what? Here we go. I'm going to give you some practical lessons tonight, and I hope you get it. Do you know who are these?
Your kids. Your family.
My family, my kids.
No, this is a picture of your family.
But this, you see, the impression was right. This is my family. Just because it's a picture, it doesn't mean that I take it and I step on it and show disrespect to my family. Because it presents my kids. I'm going to tell you something. Take it with you. Some young people, they think this is only paper. They deal with the Bible any way they want to. Sometimes you see it on the floor. Sometimes they see it in the on the floor of their cars. I've seen it, so I'm talking from experience, okay? Sometimes they see it on their feet. Sometimes we see it on, you know, the kids might leave it in the trunk of the car because they left the meeting and they never went back to the scripture. We deal with the Word of God. Oh, it's only paper. Listen. Don't forget who it represents. Just because you have a picture of your wife, it represents, speaks of your wife, doesn't mean that you spit at it and treat it like garbage, right? You show respect. We have to start learning to show reverence for the Word of God. You know what? I learned it when I was a young brother. I always used to go to the meeting, take a Bible, and put my hymn book on top of it, and put my wallet on top of it. And one time he came to me, just did it privately without saying a word. He moved the first thing, put it at the bottom. He moved the hymn book, put it on top of it, and then he brought the Word of God and put it on top of all. The Word of God is above all things. I want you to... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, dear.
The recording.
Oh.
The recording.
Well, I was trying to maneuver the phone to get into my pocket, but But the reality of it is we have to start learning how to show respect for the Word of God. Why is it I'm teaching you, impressing you with the respect and reverence? Because it is inspired. That word inspired is breathed.
Yes.
You remember how God made man? Mm-hmm. What happened? He brought some dust. And he breathed into him, and the Bible says, and this Adam became a living soul. Now think of that. You don't want me to be too close to you with my breath. You're going to tell me, brother, do you have a gum? You have a mint? But I want you to think of it. That when you are reading the Word of God, I want you to think of it this way. So that I will have more reference toward it. As if God, because it's the breath of God. It's something coming from within Him. It's something coming from His blessed heart toward me. When God is speaking to me and I'm reading the Word of God, I want you to start looking at the Word of God from this perspective, not only a paper, not only information, not only history, but God has His face toward me, close, so close, that He is breathing these words into me. Because the Greek word of this inspired, it speaks about the breath of God. So that's why I want to show respect to it. That's why we encourage one another to look into the Word of God. That's why we say we should abide in the Word of God. We should live the Word of God. That's why we encourage one another that I have to allow God to speak to me. And when He speaks to me, He's not speaking to me from a distance. He has given me words that express His own breath, His own feelings, His own love, His own inward feelings. So now after you know that, you're going to take it lightly? You're going to treat these only pages and start appreciating the grace of God that He is talking to you so close. So close. The second thing I want you to understand that it is profitable. Did I say that? Profitable. It's a gain. It's a good thing. Well, you might say, well, sometimes it exposes my heart. It's a profitable. This is why God given it to you. There is nothing about the Word of God that will bring loss. You know what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians? What did he say? In Philippians chapter 3, I'll leave it. I said to some of you who weren't here, I said, you will never get a verse from me. You'll get a book and you'll get a chapter. But he said, I count all things loss. Well, why, Paul? Why? Why? He says, for the excellency. What excellency? The excellency of Christ was so dear to him. And then he says, to know Him. It is profitable. Listen, young ones, you have two choices tonight. How much? We started at...
You have 20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay. Young ones, you have two choices tonight. We said, I'm going to give you two choices for tonight. A lot of them. One was, what are you going to behold tonight? Make a decision. You want to behold a movie? You want to behold the Lord? It's your decision. The second thing, I want you to have come to this conference in Montreal. And you are listening to the Word of God. So now I'm going to challenge you with another question. It is your choice to know about Christ, and it's also your choice to know Christ. There's a big difference to me. Huge difference to me. The Word of God is profitable. You know why? Because I don't get to know about Christ. You know what? The people that are unsaved, they know about Christ. Listen, I don't want you to be shocked. Satan knows much about Christ. So if you are satisfied that I want to know about Christ, you have missed the mark. The Apostle Paul will not accept anything less than to know Him. Not about Him. You know who would know about Him when you are telling people about Christ the Savior? They will start getting to know about Christ Jesus. But what God has in mind, because the scripture is profitable, why is it so profitable? Because it will give me that intimacy to know Christ. To know Him. So let me give you an example. Who can know intimately another person? Did you read a book called The Song of Songs in the Bible? Who read it? Let's be honest. Just like give me a quick one. I read it. Don't keep it up, but just give me a quick one. Who read The Song of Songs in your Christian pathway so far? It's like an auction. You read the Song of Songs. That's good. My challenge to you, can you be like the bride? You might say, what? Can you describe your beloved to me? Can you describe it? She did not know about her bridegroom. She knew her bridegroom. There's a big difference. She could tell you, oh my beloved, is white and ruddy. His head is of fine gold. His eyes are like the eyes of dove fitly set. His belly is like ivory overlaid with sapphire. She can tell you about his locks as black as the raven. Because her relationship with him, as she was contemplating, or what she was looking at him, is not that I know about Solomon. It was, I know Solomon. And the proof that I know Solomon is I can describe him from top to bottom. What can you describe of Christ? You know what shocks me? I always say it really shocks me. The measure of the smartness of the generations you're living in. They are way outsmart us. You are extremely smart. You put me like right now, they would say, well, how do you prove that? I prove that from a military perspective, that in our days, you can take an 18-year-old boy and put him in a tank that is so sophisticated, so complicated, and these individuals will know how to use that tank in a way that is suitable for battle. Everything is electronic and everything requires a big mind, a big brain for these things. I don't have it. If you are in a battle and you give me something just to go like this, tick, tick, don't give me, tell me, do this and put this and the electric and the target, oh please leave me alone. But you guys are extremely smart. A generation that is smart when it comes as far as your own brains. But my question for you tonight is, how smart are you to know Christ? The question was asked, does God have favorites? You know why this question was asked one time? Not from the Bible, but some believers asked, does God have favorites? And the brother said, well, why would you ask if God has favorites? He says, well, three occasions in the Bible, the Lord has 12 disciples and he takes with him home. Peter, John, and James. He said to him, God does not have favorites because we're all his children. But he's got intimate. He's got intimate. Young ones, some of you are going to be married. Some of you are married. We have young children. Start investing in the scripture. The verse before 1 Timothy 16, it says, for thou knowest the scripture from childhood. Timothy, there was a mother and a grandmother that invested time to search the scripture. That's what I was going to say. I have young kids. I am amazed how smart you are. And I'm telling you, I'm going to point the fingers at me. You can bring my kids, the boys, and tell them who plays in the Cowboys. It's a team. It's the best team ever. And to my surprise, they can tell me, well, this guy plays this position and this guy plays this position and the front are ding 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 ding, you know, and the quarterback is him and the running back is this, and I'm amazed. You know why I'm amazed? I like to hear a young man telling me about the disciples of Christ. Two men and me. I would love a young brother to be able to stand up and tell me the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus. That's why the Word of God is so real. It's profitable. Let's get the profit from it. Let's get the gain from it. It's profitable. It says over here, you turn my pages to John. It is profitable for reproof. Where is that verse is found before I turn to it? Where is the verse found? All the scriptures are inspired by God.
2 Timothy 3:16.
What does John 3:16 says? Very good. Thank you. Very good. What does 1 Timothy 3:16 says? Very good. What does Malachi 3:16 says? Malachi 3:16.
No, that's the last verse. The
last
verse.
Yeah, there is a book by the name of Malachi. I want to tell you, it's a very wonderful thing to go through all the 3:16s in the Bible. You'll enjoy them. Malachi 3:16, and all them that feared the Lord spoke often to one another.
Amen.
So let's speak often. And it says the Word of God is profitable. Why is it profitable? For what is it profitable? It is profitable for doctrine. Listen, young ones, I have 10 minutes and I hope you'll get the right message. Don't demean doctrine. I know we're living in 2016 and young people would always tell me, what do they tell me? Give us, it's coming, hold on, it's coming. Give us something practical. Don't you hear that all the time? Like, am I inventing it? Or like young people always say that. Should we do it again? It's coming. Give us something, what?
Practical.
It's I practical.
I, very good, I see. Very good one. And I always wondered, why do they always run into the practical side? I always wondered, honestly. So I'm going to come now, not only the practical, I'm going to come as an older brother, this side. Doctrine. Well, let me ask you something. If you don't know the teaching, what are you going to put into practice?
Something practical.
Okay, let's play football. That's practical. You understand what I'm trying to say? If I don't know the doctrine, what am I going to put into practice? What am I going to make practical if I don't know what's the teaching? If I don't know the teaching of piety, of godliness, what am I going to put into practice? Keep asking for practical things. I'm not discouraging you. But the practical and the doctrine, they go hand in hand. That in order for me to live in a practical way as a Christian, I have to learn what Christianity is. Or else you will be doing things that are practical. That's it. Moving. Give me something to help me. I am with that. Don't misunderstand me. I am with that 100%. But you know the doctrine is very essential. And the Bible said it's profitable. The first one on top is doctrine. Let me give you another proof about the doctrine. Who knows? Who can quote to me? I hate to give a verse, but in this case, exception. Acts 2 verse 42. Give me that. Who can quote that verse for me?
It's like prayer, breaking of bread.
No, yeah, but you started from the bottom of the verse.
I don't remember the other.
Okay, and they continued steadfastly in the first one. Give me the first one. Very good. Why would they start with the doctrine? Why don't we start with the prayer? Lord, help me. Lord, give me. Lord, I need. Let's start with this one. No. He says, if you don't learn the doctrine, thank you very much. If you don't know what prayer is, you will not know how to pray. Let's face it, that's the practical side. We have to hold the doctrine. You have to start acquainting yourself with the doctrine of Christ. Why is Christ the eternal Son of God? Why is Christ God? Give me a verse that Christ is God. Give me a verse that Christ is God.
When Jesus asked, the word was God.
Okay, give me another verse. Every word should be established by the mouth of two or three.
Christ, the Son of the living God.
Okay, give me one that he is God.
John chapter 5. First epistle of John chapter 5.
Verse?
He doesn't
give
verses.
He only Which is verse 20. That's good. That's good. That's right on the money. This is God and eternal life. He's the true God. Listen, we have to acquaint ourselves with the doctrine. So that if somebody knocked on the door, if my friend in school, I met him, they're not going to take me on a journey with every wind of doctrine. Because I don't know the doctrine, I will go along with it. Once we are acquainted with the doctrine, we know what to put to practice. If you don't know the doctrine, don't fool yourself, there's nothing practical. So when you ask for practical stuff, I love that. Please seek after it, but bring them together. The doctrine and the practical. Because, as I said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it starts with the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. Why? It is the foundation of the fellowship. What's the order he put? First,
doctrine. Teaching of the apostles.
It starts with first. Because breaking of bread, if it is not established by the foundation, what is the teaching of it? It means nothing. You know that? If I don't understand the doctrine of breaking bread, what am I there doing then? Why do we take the bread? Why do we break it?
What are you remembering?
What are you remembering? What are you calling to mind? If I don't start with the teaching, then the other ones will mean nothing to me. So please, let's start having this mentality. Teaching is very important to me. Teaching should be very important to you. Because when you know the doctrine, you would know exactly what to put to practice. What is it profitable for as well? In the last 5 minutes, listen, there's much to be said about the Word of God. And I always believe in a ministry that the brother cannot give it all to you. But certainly we can whet your appetite to look deeper into the subject at your own leisure. The second thing, and I will mention this in closing, it is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. Reproof? Who wants to be reproved? Listen, please, young ones, believe me when I tell you I was your age. Believe me when I tell you. You can take it to the bank. I was your age. I truly, this brother is a witness. I miss my older brethren. You have no idea to the measure how much. I miss these brethren that are willing to come and approach me and tell me, brother, I'm going to give you a story that I will never forget. I learned in my growth to start appreciating much and much those that are older than me, that I knew they have their best interest in their heart for me. You have no idea. I was young, and in our meeting we had these older brothers that we have none of them now. Always encouragement, always encouraging, always encouraging. One time the Lord led me to give thanks for the supper. And I use the expression, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body broken for me, broken for us. There was an older brother by the name of Hans Weiss, one of these lovely brothers that I love dearly. And he had, Parkinson's. Yeah. And he was a dentist, and trust me, you don't want to sit in his seat. Because he doesn't like to use anything. But he came and says, Brother John, I love you. The honest truth. It's like yesterday. I said, Uncle Hans, I love you too. Then he said, but really, John, really, I love you. Then I knew, we knew each other very well. I said, Uncle Hans, I love you too. Say what you want to say. He says, the body of the Lord Jesus was given.
Yeah.
It was never broken. You have no idea. No idea. If I tell you, I felt I was in heaven. Because this brother, he came with a gentle reproof. Gentle correction. There is the correction aspect. Gentle instruction for my own good. And I want to tell you, I felt that I was taken to a journey to heaven. I felt, wow. Wow, the truth of that his body was given. One bone of his bone shall not be broken. It's just like, it was, I can't even express it. But you know why? Because the word of God is profitable. It can correct me. It can instruct me. It can teach me. It can reprove me. You know what the book of Proverbs said? An open rebuke is better than secret love. Young men, let's take it to heart. If I came to one of you as my own child, it is by no means to put you down. It is really with the intention for you and I to know better and to grow more in the things of Christ. That's what the Word of God is all about. I used to wait when I was young because I know I was young and I need help. And if you don't recognize that you are young and you need help, then there's something wrong. But I want to tell you, I loved these brethren. And I have no regret to say it in any place I go to. Because they were always there for me. Always. And I always appreciated them coming to me to set me straight. Because they don't want me to do the same mistake. They don't want me to use the wrong expression again. Because the word of God is profitable. For the last minute, brethren, there's much to be said, but I'm going to say this. We spoke about prayer, and we spoke about the word of God. And there was a verse in chapter 4 of Timothy that everything that we do is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. So I want to leave that last thought in your own minds, and I try to make them simple so they would remain. When the Bible was given to us from the book of Genesis, who spoke?
God.
Give me the proof of it. And God said. God said. That's the word of God. God spoke. And when you go to the last page of the New Testament, who spoke?
Lord Jesus.
Before the Lord Jesus. Or at, even when he said, behold, I come, who spoke the last words?
The Holy Spirit.
Can I say John?
Yeah.
Let me say John. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The word of God from beginning to end has this principle. Allow God to speak to you through his word. And you in return speak to him in prayer. If you can apply the word of God and prayer in your life as a Christian, you are on a safe pathway. Because these two are the anchors of your souls. It's like these two big pillars in the temple. They were called Boaz, and they were called Jason. In him there is strength, and he shall establish. The strength is the pillar of prayer. Once you pray to God, you would recognize and understand the power of God that is available for me when I pray. And when you consider Jason, the other pillar, he shall establish, you will find out that the word of God is sufficient by itself to establish you in the things of Christ. And I trust and I pray, now you can have the last breath. Because that's it. I'm done. You're not going to hear me. You're not going to be bored. But it is this. Remember, if there's something that's going to establish your soul, and keep you for Christ in a practical way, it has to be on the ground of the Word of God. And I trust that these words will be taken to heart for His name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, we thank you because you have spoken to our hearts, you have spoken to our conscience, and you have revealed to us this wonderful word, the breath of God to us. And truly, Lord, this word is so precious. It reveals to us Christ, and it feels to us His love and His person. And truly, Lord, how much we need to know You from this world. Lord, You have opened our minds, our attention, to appreciate this word. Never to take it in a light manner. And Lord, we pray that what we have heard tonight, that it will change our thinking. It will bring us closer to Your word. It will give us this love to keep our Bibles open, to appreciate Your word, and to let Your word examine our hearts and our lives and our ways. We thank You, Lord, because also You reminded us if we have to be practical in our lives, we need to know the doctrine, we need to know the teachings. So, Lord, we pray that as young people that You give us this love to Your word, that we read, that we study, that we research, that we spend time to understand Your word. And then, based on that, we can live for Your glory. Lord, help us truly to not to misunderstand Your word, not to interpret Your word as we think it is, but to study and understand and apply this word in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for this, for the occasions we had together, and for what we have heard from our dear brothers, for the time that You have given us in those meetings. So, Lord, we pray that what we have heard change and transform our hearts, our lives, and our Bibles will be opened more and more. And we spend time at Your feet. And we spend time more in prayers. and in communication with you, bless everyone present here. Bless all our brothers, all our sisters, and all the meetings, the children, and lead us, Lord, in your ways, and keep your word close to our hearts and to our minds, so that we can live a life that is worthy of the children of God. We thank you and we bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.